Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers. It'll be the best 45 minutes of your life, I promise. Doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning with Dusty Hera and NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me.
On 1080.
I'm the best ever.
The Fan.
Good morning. Happy Friday to you. The 22nd of March. And wasn't yesterday the greatest sports day? Wasn't it great? It was fantastic.
It's good.
No? No, you don't seem like the excitement is there.
I said it was good.
Oh, my gosh. Yesterday was fantastic.
I thought it was good. There's a couple good games. There wasn't a ton of great games. There's some good games.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. You're raising that. That bar set pretty high for you then.
I'm more looking forward to today. I'm more connected to today's games because our Northwest teams, and look, Gonzaga's on its own island, okay? That game was over within the first 30 seconds.
Was not a game.
No,
that wasn't
not
a game. That looked like a practice scrimmage against 12-year-olds.
Well, and we talked about this on, what day was it? Wednesday?
Yeah.
When I said you had that Fairleigh Dickinson team where those kids, Jenkins and then Darnell Edge, looked like world beaters. Jahlil Jenkins went for 29 and Darnell Edge went for 20 in that play-in game. Yep. And they looked awesome. They combined for 14 points last night against Gonzaga. They got beat by 40.
Yeah. I mean, the best game yesterday was...
There were a couple.
Well, New Mexico, Auburn.
You had New Mexico
State. Yeah, that's the best one.
That was the best game. There were some good games. But today we get both Northwest schools. We get all three Pac-12 schools, which we're all in on.
Yep.
I get Duke.
Duke
I get
is
Kentucky.
In.
I get Virginia. Yeah. Now, today, my sports pants are tight.
Well, Kentucky was yesterday.
I meant not Kentucky.
Kentucky, absolutely.
I meant Duke and Virginia. I'm sorry.
Steamrolled Abilene Christian.
Yeah, again, not a game.
But you had a great game in that New Mexico State Auburn game, as you said, which was a cluster, you know what, at the end. Maryland and Belmont.
Mm-hmm.
Is that who they played? Maryland and Belmont was awesome. Down the stretch, and they tried to choke that one away. And then you had the Yale LSU game became one at the end. It was a 3-point game with 9 seconds to go.
Yeah.
And Yale was unable to pull it out. Florida State almost choked to Vermont. Bradley almost knocked off Michigan State until the end when Sparty pulled away.
Minnesota.
The Patino game.
Should have picked that one. That's the one that I didn't buy into, although, but it really should have done it. I mean, there was just too many things. There was just like that energy vampire was going to win. He was going to win. The son of the vampire.
And then Baylor, Syracuse was a good one too last night.
Yeah.
The nightcap.
Yeah.
We did get, I like the way that they scheduled it though, because the blowout stretch, they were all clumped together. It was like that midday, late afternoon stretch where you got great games in the morning and then you got at least one good one in that Baylor-Syracuse one at night.
You know what is the greatest picture of the entire tournament so far?
Greatest picture.
University of Central Florida's center.
Oh, Taco Fall.
Standing next to?
Tracy Wolfson.
Yes.
Yes.
She went up to his knee.
How tall is Tracy Wolfson?
She's not tall. She's probably 5. She may be 5 foot. Maybe she's 4'11".
She's
a very little gal.
Because Taco Fall's a big dude.
What is he?
7'6".
I was going to say, he's 7'5".
Yeah.
He's a big man. He's a really big, big dude.
Oh, okay.
She's 5'1"?
No, this is a lie.
What's a lie? You photoshopped?
5'6".
She is 5'6".
I just Googled Tracy Wolfson height. It comes in at, according to Wikipedia. 5'6"
and 5-inch heels.
So you know it's right on Wikipedia, 5'6".
I don't believe it.
I don't buy that. There's no way that was 2 feet difference there.
I'd give her 5'4". Maybe she's 5'4", 5'3", 5'4".
Yeah, maybe.
I don't want to get picky with it, but he's a big man, and that was a great picture.
Gigantic man.
Yeah.
He is enormous, and he wears rec specs, sport specs.
Do you have them winning today? over Virginia Commonwealth?
Oh, crap. I don't think so.
How'd you do in your bracket? Let's go bracket.
13-3.
It's really good. I'm one better. 14-2.
Yeah. I have no idea why.
Buck, what'd you get?
I picked Northwestern over Kansas.
All right. So everybody's pretty good.
I picked Northeastern over Kansas yesterday.
So did I.
Why did you do that? I did not.
Because I think Kansas is garbage.
Okay, well, I didn't think
because Rob was talking crap about Kansas. He was saying they're garbage. Well, but they're not losing a first-round game.
They've done it before.
They lost in this exact same spot. They lost to Bradley. When they were 4, Bradley was the 13. I don't know. This was a while ago, like 10 years ago.
Well, again, they've done it. They didn't lose.
Yeah. No, they didn't.
So
I didn't lose think that they would beat a school called Northeastern because here's my thing. If I don't know your mascot, I'm probably not going to pick
you. Well, that's a double directional school, which causes a lot of problems with all of us. When you get double directional.
Yeah.
Well, my roommate of, I don't know, 5 or 6 years went to Northeastern. And you know who else did? J.J. Barea went to Northeastern.
Oh, now I definitely don't like him.
Fair enough.
There is few players that are more unlikable in my mind than J.J. Barea. I think a lot of
I can one up you with JJ Redick. So I'll take your JJ and I'll take
not even the worst.
No, Barea in my mind is.
Are you
the worst.
Kidding me?
Yeah.
You think JJ Barea is worse than JJ Redick?
Yes.
He's from Duke. How can you not?
JJ Barea
that just immediately
was,
you get a higher ranking.
They're both hateable in their own ways.
Mavericks Blazers playoff series. JJ Barea was the most floppy.
Yeah.
Just. Oh, my gosh. It was the most frustrating thing to watch. J.J. Barea and the Portland Trailblazers. Yeah, I don't like J.J. Barea at all. At all. 55305, that is the Better You Today text line. We have P1 Jesse already checking in. My bracket has a lot of red in it. He had a bad day. A lot of people having rough days, even though it was a pretty chalky day.
I felt like it was chalky. Did none of you guys took my advice on Florida? Did you pick Florida or did you pick Nevada?
I picked Florida.
No,
okay,
I had Florida.
You had Florida. I think Florida is just one of those teams. Now I have them losing the next game. Well, but I felt pretty good about them against Nevada.
Well, Nevada's been stubbing their toe down the stretch. Right. They were losing at the end of the regular season. They lost in the conference tournament. They'd had their hiccups, man. And that's one of the things that you kind of look at. And then... Teams that are super hot are also tough to pick.
Yeah, so today, just to let you know, yesterday was good. Today, very excited about.
Excited about today.
Well, of course, my school's playing.
Yeah.
Buck's school's playing.
Buck is ducked out today.
School is playing.
You're not wearing any purple today, which is a little frustrating.
Well, it's because every time I wear purple, I get heckled when I walk
in.
Well,
you know what you're wearing?
I'm wearing blue.
Utah State colors is what you're wearing.
Oh,
navy blue.
Oh, care more.
Hashtag.
Huh?
I'm tired of being berated and heckled every time I wear purple in here. It's like, good God.
Whatever.
I wear green. Everyone goes, oh, Cam's wearing green. Look at him. He's green.
Yep.
And then I wear purple. It's like, what are you doing wearing that crap in here?
Well, hey.
You know what? I'm about to walk in with a huge purple shirt that has a double bird on it.
I hope UW loses by 100.
Do you think people in the South care?
Huh?
Do you think people in the South care if they get heckled when they go into work wearing colors of their school?
Yeah, I think they do care.
No.
They say,
know what? I'm proud. If you live in Birmingham and you are a Tennessee fan, you wear that orange proudly.
Probably.
And then you get beat up, but it's a badge of honor that black eye is.
I wanted to say what I really thought.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What?
Doesn't matter. Anyway, today's going to be a lot more fun.
You think so?
Yeah.
I do feel like there's a pattern that goes with the tournament. If you don't get an upset heavy day the first day, it feels like you usually do the second or vice versa.
I think day two is going to burn through a lot of brackets even more today.
Hope so.
Yeah.
Sorry, Montana Grizzly fans out there. You guys got steamrolled by Michigan, so that sucks. I know we have a lot
of
Grizzly
fans
out
here. What was the point guard's kid that went to Oregon that transferred to Montana? He's from Lincoln High School. I learned that last night. I didn't know that. He was a freshman at Oregon and then transferred to Montana. And then he was from Lincoln High School up in Tacoma.
Oh, I was like, not from Portland. I don't know.
Anyway, you know, Montana's always just been solid. They just find ways to be solid at sports.
Well, yeah. But they've got great facilities. You talk about a state that cares. If you talk about the Grizz-Cats rivalry up there, it doesn't matter what day of the year it is. Cats Grizz is on everybody's mind, and Montana puts a ton of money into their programs for being a mid-major or small FCS school. All right, we'll have a lot on the games today and tomorrow. We'll be back out at Fan Madness, the independent sports bar and grill, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m., 225 Southwest Broadway, if you're looking for your landmarks, Mary's in the Benson Hotel. Yeah. What are you giggling at?
Yeah, something called me a snowflake. That's a good one.
You hey,
that was a good one.
See?
I appreciate that.
This is what happens.
That was a good one.
It's Caremore.
If you call me a soy boy, it'll be even better.
I was just gonna say,
I beat you to it.
You're getting soy boy territory.
How did you know I had a soy cake last night?
I didn't.
Did you really?
Oh, come on. You know me better than that. But it sounded funny when I said it.
No, I don't.
I cut it up into square slices and I ate it with a plastic fork. So take that.
Diets will make you eat weird things. I had kelp noodles last night. Oh, they were not very good.
Really good. Good seaweed salad. Weren't.
Buck and I went down to the Independent for Fan Madness yesterday after the show got over and we got our obligations done here. Buck is on a diet.
He's on the seafood diet?
Keto diet.
Keto.
How's
that going for you?
I judged him massively. Yeah. He ordered a burger without a bun.
As you shove Pop-Tarts in your mouth. And
don't care.
Which I know you don't care.
Dusty looks like Dusty and I look like me, so he can keep eating those Pop-Tarts.
He does, but Dad Bod is catching him.
He went burger with lettuce wrap.
Oh, you went protein style, huh?
No carbs, no sugars.
Atta boy. You went, that's one of my favorite burgers at?
In-N-Out.
Thank you. He beat you to it. This is testing Buck's knowledge.
It's not a contest.
Everything's a contest with me. Dang it. Didn't you know that?
Except for when it comes to wearing your school pride to work on game days.
I don't need to wear my school pride to work. I will be sitting in a purple blanket on my couch.
Don't care more. But then Buck totally redeemed himself. After ordering that, he goes, and I'll have a Maker's on the rocks.
Let me get that sugar. He's like,
I'll have
the vodka?
Burger, no bun. He goes, Maker's on the rocks.
No, Maker's is okay because it doesn't have any net carbs.
Oh, keep telling yourself that.
I will.
It's the sugar in there.
That was my question.
It's the sugar that gets you.
I said, so you can't have a bun, but you can have grain alcohol?
Have a light clear. Fair. Drink clear.
So I thought I had to only have clear, but apparently I can do tequilas and whiskeys as well, as long as they don't have a high sugar content.
Yeah, it's all sugars.
Okay. So come out to Fan Madness. Quick disclaimer here. I've got dad duty, so I'm coming out in the afternoon.
Is there anybody doing shows today?
Yeah. Noon to 3, Dirt and Sprague.
I thought they're only on for an hour. We're the only one working full day today.
Noon to 1, Dirt and Sprague, but then they're going to party after. Because they're going to be out there.
Right.
One until, I believe we have it carved out until 4, is Oregon Ducks basketball.
Yeah.
Right here on the Fan.
Yeah.
They take on Wisconsin in San Jose. And then from 4 till 7, primetime with Isaac and Sue. All out at the Independent Sports.
Isaac and Sue get an extra hour. They get a little pre-funk.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. They'll be there for, because the show is set to start at 4. Souk is going to show up at 3:50.
3:57.
The game will end early.
3:57.
And Souk will end up being late because they're going to have to go. The show will have to go on before 4 o'clock. This is going to be a foregone conclusion.
This just in: Maker's Mark, zero sugars, zero carbs.
Really?
Yeah, baby.
Full of drunk.
You mean to tell me there's zero sugars in Maker's?
I'm looking at the nutrition facts right now.
Hmm.
Huh.
Take that.
Take that.
Take that.
I'm not an alcohol knowledge individual all the time, but I thought Maker's had a little bit more sugar.
I was surprised by this as well, but I was given the green light on Maker's. And
all
so
right.
I went
Then there you go.
See? Drinking helps. All right. Independent Sports Bar and Grill. Come down. It's all presented by Laurel Wood Brewing, Encore Audio Video, Warren Allen, Attorneys at Law, and the Nike Hoop Summit. So enter to win. We had great turnouts yesterday. We had a bunch of P1s down there for the early games. Colin, Kyle. There's a lot of sounds going on there.
No Brads and Chads?
I'm sure there was a couple Brads and Chads that were there.
Nice.
But
We accept all.
Yeah, everybody's welcome down there. Come down to the Independent Sports Bar and Grill, all brought to you by Laurel Wood Brewing. All right, where we start?
I remember it was just like yesterday.
In 1961, a great investment was made. Art Modell took control of the Cleveland Browns. He purchased the team for $3.6 million.
Goodbye.
Which, with inflation, is about $33 million in today's money. The Browns are now worth $2 billion.
Well, he didn't buy the Browns.
The Ravens, which he moved, are worth $2.6 billion. So he has made a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's dead. But
he's not.
It was a good investment buying
his
the
family.
Browns.
Yeah, he left a nice little legacy behind. Good move or bad move doesn't really matter because...
Dollar.
Yeah.
Dollar bills, y'all. All right, before we get into the tourney, we will have Q&A today. Questions and answers, and you could win an I'm a Dusty and Cam P1 t-shirt. Get your questions in. The Better You Today text line, 55305. Coming up next, Larry Scott in the crosshairs again. He thought that it was going to be about that time of the year where he gets a little bit of the heat taken off him. It's just getting ramped up in two different ways. Dusty and Cam on the Fan. All right, the NCAA tournament got underway yesterday, which is usually a good day for like a news dump because nobody's really paying attention to what's going on. And for the Pac-12 commissioner, Larry Scott, it was not a good day. It was not a good day at all. As yesterday, he had none of his conference teams playing. All three are today, Oregon, Washington, and Arizona State. But it started in the morning with... I guess John Orand of Sports Business Journal got his hands on what is called it's an info book, a bid book, if you will, on what the Pac-12 is seeking. We remember that a couple months ago, Dennis Dodd and John Wilner posted that the conference would be looking for $500 million from investors for a 10% stake in the Pac-12.
Wait a minute. Hold my beer.
Yeah. It is actually $750 million, according to the bid book. And what they're going to requiring any potential investor would be required to make a 25-year commitment. A minimum investment of $100 million is required for individuals in an investment group. Okay.
But hold on. It's amateur sports, Dusty.
That's right. Yeah. It's expected to be paid up front, and they would own a 10% stake in NewCo, which sounds like a scam.
Hold on. Yeah. 10% stake in NewCo or 10% stake in the total amount of what the Pac-12 network is worth or the conference?
That NewCo is all of the media rights of the conference rolled into one, which is basically your entire value of your conference if you're looking at it in those terms, because that's how conferences get all their money, is their media money, you know?
Wow.
So that would mean that they believe the conference is worth $7 billion if you're doing the math on that.
Yeah. So your valuation is $7 billion conference. Okay, well, they've obviously had some smarter people that are within that group that have told them that this is what they think the value is. So I can't argue against it.
Well,
right now. I can't, because sports are very valuable, and you could see that the money and maybe potential growth and negotiations. I find it a little embarrassing that they have to reach out to outside investors, because I don't think there's any other conferences. But until we know that, that have outside investors, as much as we want to pretend that that's not real, I consider ESPN an outside investor into the SEC network. So let's not pretend that that's not going on already.
They are a partner. But remember the Dennis Dodd article from a few months ago, back in February? Last month, he said that when talking to Wall Street types, that the conference is only valued at $3.6 billion. So they're saying, we think it's worth double, and we hope that you pay us in kind. In the bid book, they said that the expectation is that NewCo would eventually be sold and the investor would benefit, but they're giving zero guarantees that will happen. So what they're...
Roll the dice.
Exactly what you're saying there is that with this $750 million, they're going to go and sell it off to ESPN, Fox, possibly Amazon or Facebook or whomever wants to buy it.
Sure.
And then that's where the investors would recoup their money. 700 of the $750 million would go to the schools. 50 million would go to the conference and NewCo. This seems...
Instead of injecting revenue into what you already have and using your current television deals to get that done with potentially DirecTV, or doing a better job with coming up and trying to say, hey, we'd like to renegotiate, no matter how your contract looks, trying to cut costs and trying to bring in a better product, you're now trying to find out. It feels like you're just throwing money at a leaking dam.
Yes.
Like you're putting some duct tape on a dam already. So here, we're going to make you happy, schools. We're going to give you this extra money that we found in outside investors. But oh, by the way, we gave up equity in the company that, so in the end, really what are... You know, I understand business. I get it to an extent. And it's very complicated when you get that much money involved.
Mm-hmm.
But it just feels like you're just putting lipstick on a pig here.
But on the one hand, you sit there and you look at it and you could go, yes, you could just do what the sensible thing would do is change your course, stop doing what you're trying to do and stop banging your head against the wall.
Yeah.
Or you can go this way, which is, okay, we can still try to maximize our earnings and get this influx of money in, right? Because what they're trying to do and they've been unsuccessful at is maximize and get the most money that they possibly can. It's failed. So they're trying to still do that and get that influx of money and hope that it can get there until the next round of negotiations for media rights happen.
And if you remember when we had Joel Klatt on in the fall, he criticized the Pac-12 and Larry Scott and the rest of the group that were running it and said their biggest crutch was the fact that they held on to 100% rights of what the media company already is as it stands. So 100% of our value is we own it all. That's what we own every single second of it.
Yeah.
But that's okay. That sounds great.
Not anymore.
But would you rather have, if you own 100% of the dollar that you have, okay? And Joel's biggest criticism was if you had a partner like Fox or ESPN or anything like that, wouldn't you rather own, say, 70% of that percentage?
Well, yeah, because those people are all making more money.
Yeah. So if you're going to die on the vine that we still have we own the entire entity and you're going to keep selling that to the universities and the presidents and all that, it still doesn't make enough money to make it worthwhile. This doesn't.
No, but I guess if you were looking at it this way, like Pio and Dustin chimes in and says, I mean, this isn't the final nail in the coffin for Larry Scott. He's done some bad things to the conference. Can't read that really on the air. And now he has to beg for money. How is he still employed? Well, some people should probably hope that this does happen, because if somebody has 10% stake in the conference, they will have a voice at the table too that says, okay, Larry Scott still is bungling this. Why don't we get rid of him? And so there'll be other voices in there. And if that isn't the final nail in the coffin, John Wilner said, hold my beer, Sports Business Journal. He posted of the San Jose Mercury News, who breaks all the news in the Pac-12. He posted a letter that he got from three officials to Larry Scott about the officiating in Woody Dixon. Now, these three guys, their names are Chuck Chusbin, Frank Gallagher, and Mac Gilchrist. They are longtime officials, over 100 years experience in officiating. And they wrote a letter to him back in December. They got no response. That's all they were hoping for. They wanted to keep this private. And when they didn't get a response, they said this to Larry Scott. And they finally sent it to Wilner and said, fine, you post it then. Mr. Scott, you know from personal experience that this is not the first time Woody Dixon has overstepped his bounds in the Washington State USC game. Woody single-handedly caused the exit of former supervisor of officials, and it's well known that several years ago he wanted to fire the gentleman who is now your replay supervisor. After his latest incident, there is no question the conference was far more interested in covering this up than finding the source of the info rather than dealing with Woody. You did so by removing a very valuable training tool for instant replay. In your blind and bumbled approach, you hid reports and grades. This info previously had been transparent, which allowed instant replay to confer within itself. Instead of you dropping the hammer on Woody, you dropped it on instant replay. And they sent that to John Wilner flatly saying, this isn't the first time Woody Dixon has done this, and everybody knows it, and you tried to cover it up. We kind of all assumed that when the story came out, right?
We do.
And now they just kind of set fire to this again, saying, all right, time to start digging, reporters, well, and they will.
The more public exposure of this debauchery that we have going on, that's going on within the conference, and we get to understand it and see it, the more that the pressure goes to somebody like and my good friend Ed Ray, and he and I are in lockstep with how we think, not even close. You got to put pressure on the university presidents. They have to understand this is not acceptable anymore, and it's an embarrassing. It's an embarrassing for the universities. It's embarrassing for the people, for public institutions, and private within.
Hear, hear. Hear, hear. All right, now that Larry Scott is in the crosshairs again, we can enjoy Pac-12 basketball. Three teams today, Oregon, Washington, and Arizona State. Coming up next, though, we have some fun. Q&A. You've got questions. We've got answers. You could win an I'm a Dusty and Cam P1 t-shirt. 55305, the better you today. Text line. Here's Buck with SportsCenter.
Let's get texty.
I left a message.
A message? What number did you call?
2-4 Niner, 5, 6, 7, 8.
I can't hear you. You're trailing off. And did I catch a niner in there? Were you calling from a walkie-talkie?
No, it was cordless.
Text us now at 55305. Message and data rates may apply.
Just want to leave my number. Anyway, that was weird and desperate.
This is Textual Relations on the show that likes to be over-text. Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080.
The brain of that person to actually say that?
The Fan.
55305. That's the Better You Today text line. You can text in to get in on our Q&A, where if you have the best question of the day, first or second hour, you can get an I'm a Dusty and Cam P1 t-shirt. So get them in. They're already coming in and in the queue. The first one comes in. Would you rather have expansion or relocation for the Portland Sasquatch, Yetis, Mavericks, Pioneers, or whatever you want to call them?
I don't care, but if you had to make me choose, I would like expansion.
Very easy for me.
Yeah.
Do you have a reason why for expansion?
Because I like more of a good thing. More professional sports. I would like more cities to have opportunities. So if you wanted to add two more cities, you wanted to put maybe Montreal in this and then bring in Portland, fantastic. If you want to add more of a good thing means more professional sports, more games, more professional athletes, more jobs, more. It's not like there's a lack of money out there.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Go. I go expansion because I think that in the wave and world of baseball that we're in now, it doesn't have to just be purely analytic driven, but if you think of this way, if you get guys like Theo Epstein or Billy Beane with money to spend, or Jeff Luhnow down in Houston, and you get one of those GMs, their dream is to start from scratch and say, okay, we get an expansion draft where you get to pick guys that some teams don't even want anymore, and you can use your analytics and your numbers to build a roster, and then you can go out and you automatically get the number one or number two pick in an expansion or in the normal MLB draft, and then you can build a farm system from scratch. It takes a ton of money, and I know for ownership you have to have really deep pockets to do that, because you have to you have to start 6 minor league franchises too. That takes some money, but I think that in the world of baseball that we're in, you could see a quick run to the postseason in baseball if you were to get an expansion team and the right people in place in management. So that's
good.
I would
answer.
Love to see it.
Good answer.
Good answer. Good answer.
Did you get a kiss? Did you get a kiss?
Did I get a kiss?
Yeah,
oh,
Richard
from
Dawson.
Dawson?
Yeah, Richard.
I don't think he would have kissed me.
Oh, why not?
My wife, he definitely would have.
You know, he definitely would have went after your wife.
My gosh. What a perv. Is the quote-unquote second wave of free agency more valuable than the big signings? We're talking in NFL, I'm assuming.
Say that one more time. I'm sorry.
The second wave of free agency more valuable than the big signings?
No. Let's see. Second wave. So that would probably
we're
look
in it
into
now.
Yeah, we're in the second wave. It's not the ancillary players, but it's definitely a lot more of the role players. Guys you're not going to hear a lot of, guys that are released. I think you would go all the way to June. And you look at the secondary releases as the veterans, and they make it past mini camps, and then you get past the draft. I think it's more important once you pass the draft, because that's after teams evaluate whether they believe that the depth and the guys that they have drafted are going to pan out.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can see, all right, let's get rid of this, let's get rid of this, and then the second group that come in. So I would say not till June.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and I'll say if you want to consider like what we're in right now as the second wave, mm-hmm. I think that these ones are going to be more valuable than the big ones too. If you're talking Justin Houston to Indianapolis, Michael Bennett to New England, you know, or those are the kind of signings that I think those are going to make a bigger impact, because those guys are a little bit cheaper wherever Ndamukong Suh goes. And these guys tend to sign with contenders.
Yeah.
So instead of teams that have a ton of money to spend and aren't very good, I mean, watch out for Indy.
Yeah.
That's going to be an interesting one.
I'm just going to go with the food one because I don't care. Because this one came in and said, how do you guys cook your ribs? That's from P1 Jordan. I do. I'm a 3-2-1 method guy. Okay. I smoke for about 2 hours, 3 hours, and then I put them in tinfoil upside down. Now, I do put mustard on them when I smoke them, and I put I put all my seasoning on it. So I put just regular yellow mustard, all my seasoning, and then I smoke for 3. And then in 2, I put them upside down in apple juice. So you turn the ribs over so the juice stays there inside tinfoil, and it creates a boiling. It softens everything up. And then I take them out for the last hour and put on the sauce that I custom make. And then I let it just settle. There's my 3-2-1. That's what I found the best for me. Now, I know there's lots of ways as he pressure cooks, which that's another way too.
No, no. He just said he over the winter he wanted some. He used a pressure cooker and then broiled them.
Which is certainly a lot faster. Mine is, it's 5 hours.
Yeah, he did that like, hey, I want some ribs. Can't be outside all
quick.
Day long.
Yeah, you got to go quick.
Do it pretty quick. And,
are you a rib rib in the oven guy?
No. In the oven? Yeah. No, I got to.
You don't boil them? I've seen that done. Reboil them first.
I have a Traeger. Okay. And I think when you own a Traeger or any sort of smoker, then you use that to and you maximize its capabilities. If you have a big green egg, that's also a great one to have.
Can't go wrong anytime you're outside making ribs.
Slow cooking and proper coverage of sauces is important as well.
The proper way is when you first bite in and you see the small smoke layer. It really depends on how far you want your smoke layer in it. It's that little red line that tells you how far. It's key.
Yeah, it really is. 55305, the better you today text line. Q&A, get them in. Did the t-shirts come in purple? No, they don't.
They will be soon.
No, they don't. I think that was a, maybe if you could wear one, Cam.
Here's a little tease. We're going to be offering them a lot of colors soon.
There we go. Okay. When Portland gets a Major League Baseball team, who should be the manager? I personally prefer Pat Casey. I don't care who it is. I'm not going to lie.
Well, if I could be selfish, sure, Coach Casey would be amazing, but I'll take anybody.
We talked about the difference between
Major League. Give me Sweet Lou.
We talk about the difference between NFL and NBA coaching and college to professional. We don't see guys jump from college baseball to MLB.
No, not very often.
I mean,
in fact,
never.
Probably never.
Because you work your way up through the minors instead. Mm-hmm. Instead of going to
spend
college,
a lot of time there.
You go to the minors and then you work your way up to the big leagues. It's like two completely separate entities in and of itself. That would be interesting to see. Unretired Bobby Cox. Huh. All right, 55305. That is the Better You Today text line. Get your questions in. We've got answers. Dusty and Cam on the fan. All right, 55305 is the Better You Today text line.
Kiss, good or great band?
Great.
Thank you. One of my buddies tell me that this is a fake, immature band.
Oh, get out.
Yeah, he's a music snob.
What does he say? What does he have against
really
band? He says they're fake.
Yeah, he said that they're just a bunch of guys in costumes. They have no talent.
You kidding me?
Yeah. I was hyper offended, but that was okay. I was offended. It's all right.
So the thing. If you're not the biggest fan of their music, you can't deny their ability as entertainers. Like they're wildly entertaining.
That's part of it, too. It's just what it is.
But I mean, Rock and Roll All Night, Detroit Rock City, Love Gun. I mean, they've got some great songs, too.
Dr. Love.
I mean...
Strutter.
Yeah. Lick It Up.
Mm-hmm. This is a great song.
It's great. You can't... Okay, so...
Again, I'm not a music snob. I am not. Anytime you're a musician and you have kind of talent, I might not like it, but I'm not going to tell you you're not.
Now, the costumes are one thing, and you can be like, oh, they're a gimmicky band. But they have good music, too, that were hits and are hits. I don't like this. All right, Kiss, great band. Yeah. 55305 is Better You Today, text line, Q&A. Ooh, we have this a little bit later in the show, but I don't mind talking about it right now. This is a great question. Do you think Michigan State coach Tom Izzo is justified in blowing up on his freshmen yesterday in their first game? I'm all for hard-nosed coaching, but when it looks like you're trying to fight your player, that's where I draw the line. The player should always feel they're in a safe environment. What are your thoughts? Ooh, I like this. I like this a lot.
This is about an hour's conversation for me, but that's in a nutshell. Just don't be surprised that Tom Izzo yells at his players. He's been yelling at his players since the very, very first time he's ever been coaching. So that's not, I don't have any problem with yelling at a player.
Hard-nosed coaching is...
I don't have a problem with it.
The apology, the media asked him after the game if he apologized to his player. And I think that is absolutely absurd that question is being asked, because who is to say... Every coach knows his players and treats them all differently. Mm-hmm. Aaron Henry is the freshman forward that Tom Izzo dressed down. Tom Izzo isn't like that with every single one of his guys. And Tom Izzo has been at that school since before Aaron Henry was born. So to sit there and say that Izzo doesn't know how to connect and what buttons to push, he doesn't need to apologize, because some people respond to hard coaching and they respond very well to it. Just because you don't doesn't mean that he has to apologize for it. Now, Izzo was a little bit extreme and he did kind of look like he was trying to fight his guy, but everybody has regrettable moments. He didn't put his hands on him. Right. He dressed him down, and who's to say Aaron Henry doesn't love hard coaching, and that's why Izzo responded the way he did. So I don't know. I mean, Izzo isn't a bad guy. He's a great coach. And he doesn't need to apologize for anything.
I don't need apologies from a coach that's been doing it that way.
A lot of people do, though.
Yeah, you can just do whatever. Your style is successful. You may not like it. I didn't like his analogy. I thought his analogy was dumb. I thought it sucked. I thought it was terrible to use the fact that this kid is he's a student athlete. He's not an employee, because we'll play the audio later.
Yeah, we'll have the audio.
And we can get more into that. But it's a good question. Is that, if you ever been yelled at by coach? You ever been berated by coach? I mean, I know you have.
I think everybody at some point has.
Yeah, been dressed down like there's no tomorrow.
But if you're a person that doesn't respond well to that, that really sticks with you. And if also, that's not the way that you prefer to be coached, that sticks with you. And then when you see it happen, you don't understand that other people are wired differently than you are.
I will tell you that I respond. I've always been the type of athlete that responds to this. Here's the difference. Here's what gets me. If you berate and go after me like that, I will shut down, because that's kind of my personality a little bit. I can take it, but it makes me angry, and sometimes it works. The one that gets me the most is when the coach walks over and goes, I was expecting a little more out of you.
Yeah.
That one gets me.
I agree with the kind of different players.
The ones where
your parents are, I'm just disappointed.
No, he looks you dead in the eye, and you get done with a play or you get done with a game on film. He goes, Cam, you're better than that. I just got, you're right. And that one gets me. That's more motivating for me than just being yelled at. Then it just turns into white noise. But other guys are different.
I know different players respond to different types of coaching. For me personally, I don't mind the yelling. I don't mind Izzo being upset, but don't put your finger in my face and don't touch me. I think that's where I would personally draw the line. And if that kid had an issue with that, I wouldn't have a problem. But maybe he doesn't. And I don't want to put a blanket statement like no coach should ever. But I don't think there's much of a place for putting your hands on a player and for putting a finger in your player's face.
The finger in the face is an interesting one, because when the coach grabs a face mask. You sit there and you're like, what are you doing, man?
I just don't think it's necessary at the point across.
But there is, come on, guy, at some point in time, tough love is okay. I mean, there's a point where you can get you can get personal, but to challenge a young man's integrity or discipline, or whether he's doing the right job, or whether you're getting at that, there is never a problem with challenging somebody.
Completely agree.
And pushing to that, get to that button. But there is a line. Today's line is it's a lot skinnier line than it used to be. It's a very thin line, but you just don't go over it.
Interesting question here. Coaches can act like that to players, but fans can't say you suck. No, absolutely not. Fans can't say they suck. Did Tom Izzo tell Aaron Henry he sucked?
I don't know what he said.
No, he did say what he was telling him, and it was that he wanted better effort out of him.
Give me
he
more.
Wanted better effort. And the big difference between that is he's not telling the kid he sucks at basketball like a lot of fans do. He's wanting more. And here's another thing that fans don't have that coaches do. It's called a relationship.
Sure.
A relationship with a player where he knows him. He knows what makes the player tick, and he knows how hard he's worked to get there, and actually knows him personally. 55305. Be better you today, Texan.
People always want their safe place. SMH. Very good text. Thank you for that.
I don't have a problem with people wanting a safe place. I get it, but everybody's safe place is different, and acknowledge that, please. Your safe place is different than mine.
Yeah, I don't really need you to tell me if you have a safe place or not. I don't need you. Please, and stop apologizing for wanting to be good at your craft and caring about it and having passion. Mm-hmm. Was it a dumb analogy? Yeah. But look.
P1 Corn Dog, I'd rather have a coach mad at me than disappointed in me.
Oh, so much. Where we're so there. True. So true. Because as soon as your coach stops talking to you, it's over.
Yeah. 55305. We'll get to some of more of your feedback next. And who's getting an I'm a Dusty and Cam P1 t-shirt? We'll tell you next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.